Welcome to the Maria Recruit Radio Show, where we provide in-depth coverage of the most important trends and stories in the world of real estate, cryptocurrency, finance, business, gold, silver, stocks, and bonds. We are here to help you find financial independence and freedom.
Well, hello everyone. It's the Maria Recruit Radio Show coming to you live again from 4680Q downtown Niagara Falls. And you know what? We're one of the few stations left that doesn't use AI. It is truly me, Maria Recruit, your host for the Maria Recruit Radio Show downtown, beautiful downtown Niagara Falls. And it's my pleasure to be here and share all the information I have that I think you need to know about in order to make proper decisions of what you need to do with your real estate, your business, everything, crypto, everything. And I'm so happy to say that we actually have a new partnership. I have a new partner. And I'm going to have him on my show in the near future, but right now I'm just going to introduce Cam Chaube from the Vehicle Exchange Inc. And you know, the Vehicle Exchange Inc., I've known Cam Chaube for 23 years, and in fact a friend of mine just bought his Honda from them this about 2 weeks ago, and they just love it. And I've been doing business with Cam now for 23 years, buying my Hondas from him. I've had about 8 of them. And Cam takes the time to get to know you. You're building a friendship and a relationship. And that's pretty much the way I do business. When I do business with people, most people don't even realize they should be doing business this way. People don't realize that business is a long term. It's a long game, right? And you need to be able to trust someone. And I really trust Cam Chaube. And I suggest all of you go to see him. Say, hey, Maria Recruit told me about you. He has two car lots. One is on 974 Garrison Road in Fort Erie. And they are open. Let's see. Now I have to see over here. Open every day, Monday to Friday, from 9:30 to 5 p.m. And then Saturday and Sunday, they're closed. But let's see now. Let's see what's going on over here. But instead, you can come to St. Catharines. They've just opened up their new car lot on 414 Ontario Street in St. Catharines. Their phone number, if you need to know more, call them up at 905-684-2568. Tell them that Maria Recruit sent you there, and they will give you the great best deal there is in the world. They're open Monday to Friday from 9 to 5 and Saturday only by appointment. So you'll be treated royally. So Cam, I'm going to give you a shout out here from 4680Q.ca. And please, by all means, go and visit their website. You can go on Can Am Vehicles on Facebook. And you can go also and see them. Go and visit them like I do. I just go over there and talk to them. I call them up and ask for a special deal. Okay, so here we go. So today's show is about all things real estate and business. And I wonder if you're curious about what the financial elites are up to and how it could affect your money and your real estate and your business. If you remember, in 2020, what was going on there is that the little people were not allowed to run their business, but the big corporations could. It was really the small businesses that needed the support of the government. It was the small landlords that needed support of the government, and they didn't get any. They were left to hang out to dry. I feel that now, in 2023, 3 years later, Can you imagine 3 years later? It's not getting any better at all, actually. I'm really disappointed what's going on now. And I'd like to see some changes. And that's why I produce these shows every week, every Thursday, is because I really want to be able to share what I see happening actually in the world to give you a head start as a small business person. Because nobody else is on our side. There's no corporation on your side. There's no government on your side. I was just talking to one of my friends on my way down to the station today, and I said to her, you know what? I learned from my parents who, were from Europe after the war, and I learned from them to be very, very self-sufficient and not listen or trust anyone but myself about what was going on. You know, we have to learn to trust ourselves and rely upon ourselves. No one else is going to do it for us. And I think that's one thing that we all need to understand of what's going on now, is that we need to rely on ourselves. I learned that very early in my life. I was telling my girlfriend, Linda. I said, Linda, you know, I learned that very early at 10 years old. I knew that I had to rely on myself. Had to save the money to go to school, had to go to work, had to study, learn, you know, become educated. And I learned very early in my life to not rely on anyone. And I would suggest to everyone else here too, is don't rely on anybody. Just rely on yourself. That's what independence is all about. And you have to take your independence quite seriously. You know, no one's going to help you but yourself. So let me just go on here and let's just talk about what's going on here where you have to take care of yourself now. So we're going to be talking about the housing. What's going on with the housing? And I'm really concerned. If you ever want to keep in touch with me, go on Real Estate Media News Network Facebook page, sign up and read what I'm posting there. I have other people posting things also. And I do touch on things where I think everyone needs to know more about. And also, you need to understand how to protect yourself, right? So just come all the time, every Thursday, 5 p.m., 4680Q. I'm here live, and I'm happy to share. So this week, it's going to be actually about what's going on with real estate. It's not getting any better, is it? No matter what we say, it's not going to get any better. And I'm concerned about that. And I'm going to share some statistics with you. It's becoming very, very hard about the rental market. And just let's explore just how difficult it is to find a rental property. I was talking to someone today actually on the phone, and she was saying that she's paying $1,750 a month in a motel, and they don't have a kitchen. What they do is, of course, they have a washroom and they have their bedroom, and that's what they're paying. I remember years ago when you were in a motel, it was like maybe $400 or $500 a month, or maybe $700. Well, how can you possibly afford $1,750 for a motel? But remember, it's all inclusive. And I said that to her. I said, you know, I think for your sake, I think that's the best place to be for now. Just settle down over there and see what you can do in the future. Doesn't have to be like that forever, but you know, she wanted to get a place where she would have her kitchen. And I said, well, you know, maybe just start using the microwave. I mean, a lot of people, that's all they do. And if you look at the videos in Japan, the people there don't even have a kitchen. They have like a little sink maybe, and they have a little stove. That's just one element, you know. It's induction. I mean, that's what I use in my rentals now too. Induction cooking for my studio apartments or one of my bedroom apartments. Instead of putting a stove, just induction. Then you have the microwave. You know, then you can have a toaster oven. I mean, really, what do you need more? And then, of course, a big fridge, right, for the food that you can buy on special, because everyone should be buying everything on special. And very few people are doing that. And that's one thing I don't understand, why people don't look at the specials. I learned since I was a child to look at specials. So now we have the problem that the rents dwarf minimum wages in every province, and the rising interest rates aren't helping. So let's look over here and read an article here from MSN that I found for you on Global News. And here we see, let's see what they say about this. Let me see if I can put this on and you can hear it. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, okay. I don't want any. I want to skip the ad. Let's see if I can do this one here and if you can hear it. Let's see if you can hear it. Okay, here we go.
A larger chunk of their paycheck on rent.
We are at crisis levels.
And a new report says minimum wage earners are being priced out of the market in pretty much every province.
We thought that the minimum wage was going to increase the standard of living, full-time jobs, but a lot of those increases in minimum wages have just ended up with landlords.
The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives compared the minimum wage in each province to the rental wage, the amount of pay needed to comfortably afford rent so that it isn't more than 30% of a person's pre-tax income. In the three provinces with the highest minimum wage, Ontario, Alberta, and BC, it found that to comfortably afford a one-bedroom apartment, renters would need to make anywhere from $6 to almost $12 more per hour than the current minimum wage. Canadian economist Mike Moffitt says more supply is needed, but it can't be built fast enough to bring down skyrocketing rents in the short term.
It takes a while to get shovels in the ground and those units completed. So we need additional financial supports for renters to allow them to keep paying the bills.
He also suggests limiting college and university enrollments to bring down demand and says zoning reforms and even tax reform may be needed to encourage more purpose-built rentals. In the meantime, interest rates are pushing rents higher as landlords try to recoup costs and construction slows. Alyssa Julie, Global News, Toronto.
Suffer and have to put up with BS. And I, quite frankly, don't believe in that. We need to fight this. And they say we have to build more purpose-built properties. How about helping out the small landlord that will take a lot of the people in? But instead, oh no, they say that you don't have to pay rent. Well, nobody in their right mind is going to rent to someone who's not going to pay the rent. And what's happening is more and more of the landlords are actually calling it quits. And they just forget about it and sign off and just sell their property, and that's the end of it. So you have less and less landlords that are buying their property, and I really don't I can't justify telling a landlord to not take care of their own needs, and I can't justify to myself, you know, that I'm going to be renting to people who can't afford it, or I can't afford to have them. So let's go here. It says pressure from higher interest rates and a lack of affordable housing means renters living on minimum wage is almost every neighborhood across Canada are falling behind, a new report shows. If the government cared at all, they would be able to find people places. They would work hand in hand with the small landlord, which is something that I've been talking about. And I'm the president of the Canadian Real Estate Investors Association. Do you think anyone's reached out to me to say, hey, Maria, what can we do to help these poor tenants? What can we do to help the small landlords? Oh no, they don't even pay attention, and they come out with Bill 97, C97, and nobody even knows that was coming out. Did they come to us as an association and ask us anything? No, they completely ignore us. So please don't think the government's working for either the landlord or the tenant. They're not working for anyone but themselves and the big corporations. There is a push to get rid of the small landlord. This is going on all over the world. Look at how many homeless people there are. You tell me that's not part of the plan. Why in the world is all of a sudden all these homeless people showing up all over the world? It's part of the World Economic Forum wanting to make us all poor, hopeless, and helpless. That's what they want to do. And you've got to fight against it. So let's look over here. The Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, CCPA. I don't even believe half of what these so-called policies are when they come to us. We're doing it, okay? Released Tuesday evaluates housing markets in Canada by rental wage. What rental wage? We just found out that you need to make $34 an hour to be able to rent a one-bedroom apartment. Now you have people crazy. Look at what people are getting, $15 an hour. They have to double up on that. Do you really see any corporation being able to even handle that? And the interest rate keeps going up and up and up. What do you think they're doing that for? They want to squeeze the small landlord out. They want to squeeze the renters out. It's desperate, the situation, but you think they're listening to it? No, they don't hear you guys. They couldn't give a damn about what you're doing. So let's continue. Let's see what this CCPA is talking about. Evaluates housing markets in Canada by rental wage. Okay, the hourly earnings a full-time worker would need to afford the rent on a one or two-bedroom home at no more than 30% of their income. They can't do it anymore. You can't. Used to be you could do it on 30% of your income. You can't do it anymore. There's no such thing. You have to probably be about 50 or 60%. So let's just listen to what they're saying over here. Let's see if it works or not.
To live when you have a low income is not easy.
And that's why so many tenants end up living in places that have very bad conditions. They know, they see the moment they're going to rent, but they have no other choice.
For those earning some of the lowest wages, renting an apartment and having enough money for other essentials is getting beyond reach. Take Toronto, Canada's largest city.
Even two minimum wage workers with their combined income could not afford a one-bedroom unit without spending more than 30% of their income on rent.
The budget numbers look even worse for renters involved in a rent strike in Toronto.
We have over 800 tenants in just these two buildings behind where we organize. I don't know anyone that pays less than 50% of their income on rent.
In its new report, the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives calculated how much someone would need to earn to rent a two-bedroom apartment. In Vancouver, someone would need a minimum hourly wage of more than $42. In Toronto, more than $40 an hour. In Ottawa, $32. In Halifax, $27 an hour. The report shows three communities in Quebec requiring the lowest hourly wages to earn that two-bedroom apartment.
If they're working full-time and they can't afford rent, they're eventually going to start looking to move elsewhere.
And in the meantime, one economist says this is required.
We need additional financial supports for renters to allow them to keep paying the bills.
As finding a place to rent in cities gets harder for those earning minimum wages, researchers say,
who is going to stay behind to work in those shops? Who is going to stay behind to work in the service industry?
Sean O'Shea, Global News, Toronto.
I got my variable rate. It was one.
Anyone trying to find an apartment in a big city knows.
$195, and right now I am at 5.4.
Wrong. this is so wrong, and I'd love to see those things change. But I can be shouting from the rooftops, but if you don't complain, if you don't do something about it, if you don't demand from the government or corporations that we have as much right to live in a home, as much right to rent and not have to pay 50 to 60%, it is done on purpose to destroy the North American lifestyle, where home ownership is pretty much, you know, it really is fairly new. It only started after the Second World War, where a family would have a home to live in. They never did that before. Most people rented, and actually, quite frankly, in Quebec, most of the people there rent, very European style. To own your own home, I can see that we're not going to be able to do that anymore, which is wrong. It's wrong. If you've been bringing people up and you're educating them, you put them in debt, first of all, I don't even believe half of the education that people are getting, because if you can only find a minimum wage job, if you can't make $42 an hour or $34 an hour, which is what you need to have a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom home, don't go to school. Learn some sort of a blue-collar job. I mean, my God, I'm going to tell you something. My roofer that did my roof, he lives on lakefront. He has a beautiful house on the lakefront. I don't. I live in the city, a little town. But he has a beautiful lakefront property. He is a blue-collar worker. But that guy makes thousands and thousands of dollars. So I think many people who are going to university should be stopped. Stop doing that. Stop. Become a blue-collar worker, and maybe you'll be able to make enough money to buy a house, because if you're going to be working for somebody else, everyone is not going to work. But I'm going to tell you what I did as a single woman, because I can only talk from my own experience, is that you find a job, could be part-time, not full-time necessarily, maybe have, like I had 7 part-time jobs, and then I built my business on the side. So I don't think everyone should be doing what I did, but remember, I was different, right? I was a woman, and I was a young girl at 10 years old. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, where I was going to be, what I was going to do. I went to Europe, I studied, I saved my money. Not everybody has those aspirations that I did. So, I mean, you know, you can't go by what I've done. I can only tell you what I've done and why I've done it and where I am right now. But I can suggest to you have a number of part-time jobs and start your own business. Because what happens when you have your own business, you have tax write-offs. That's why I started my business, is because I had tax write-offs. Why should I be paying all those taxes? So let's look over here what's going on about the interest rates. Because, see, if you're a renter and you go to a house and you speak to the landlord and you say, okay, you know, I'd like to rent, and then you think they're asking too much, you've got to think again that their interest rates has gone from maybe 2% or 1% up to 6 or 7%. But they have to take that out. I mean, they have to get it from somewhere. It has to come from the rental. Plus the taxes have gone up, as you know. Electricity has gone up. And for me, it went up $1,000 a month. It was $400. Now it's $1,000 a month. Where do you think I'm going to get that? I have to get it from the tenants that are renting from me. I have no other place to get it. So, and insurance has doubled up too. All my insurance has doubled. So I'm not the only one that this is happening to. So I think everyone should know about this. And at the end is, now you know the other side of this conversation, right? Now you know that it's not just the landlord. Everyone thinks the landlord is so greedy. Well, no, they have to pay for their insurance. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any place to live. Landlords and tenants should get together. The government is pushing you apart. The corporations are pushing you apart. No, don't fall for that. You can talk one-on-one with a small landlord, see if they can help you somehow or another. But you have to be good to that landlord. He's not going to let you in and you don't pay. Like, give me a break. Like, honestly, I don't know about people. You know, people don't seem to have any more common sense. When I grew up in the 1950s, you were taught common sense. Is anyone taught common sense anymore? No. Let's go on here.
My variable, right?
Let's see what this guy has to say here.
And right now, I am at 5.5 or something like that. and my payments are probably up about $500 a month. I'm already not paying my principal, and my interest is so high that my payment is not covering only the interest.
Well, it's hard for everyone around me that I know, and for our family for sure. We are not eating out as much compared to before, and we just have to keep every penny accountable.
To me, it does not seem feasible that at least in the next 15 to 20 years, I will be able to own my own home.
Not with parental help.
Not without my parents.
Which is going to extend our ability to retire younger.
I got my variable rate.
Let's see what goes on here.
Honestly, we've been going into debt. We've been putting things onto credit cards, which is not a long-term solution and makes us very anxious for the future.
She received $420 for her family of four, one of the 11 million lower-income households now eligible for the federal government's so-called grocery rebate. That eligibility depends on both income and how many children they have. So, a single person could get between $234 and $628, and a couple could get between $306 and $628.
It's enough for a little while, but I mean, it's not a solution long term.
Overall inflation has dropped to 3.4%, but the food inflation rate remains stubbornly high at more than 8%. The NDP wants to tax the big grocery chains, accusing them of using inflation as a cover to increase their profit margins.
That is not sitting well with Canadians, and rightly so, it shouldn't sit well with them. That's why we're saying we would tackle that by putting a wealth tax or a windfall tax on these rich corporations.
The Liberals have shown no appetite for doing that, and they point out that the grocery rebate is one of several measures to help with affordability.
Now, I know that will not make up for all of the impact of inflation that Canadians have felt. But for those who need help the most, the grocery rebate will provide some important breathing space at a time when people really need it.
The Conservatives say the Liberals are out of touch and that their carbon tax is just making the cost of living worse. Quibel says she thinks today's grocery prices won't ever come down. She simply hopes they will stop going up. Karina Roman, CBC News, Ottawa.
How concerned are you that Canadians are going to...
you would not be taxed. They would take the taxes down. They would bring the inflation. I don't believe anything about what they're doing right now is going to make a difference for you when they do this, right? They want this inflation to kill the small business. They don't have to put that inflation that high because they're the ones that are overspending, not you and I. I'm not overspending. I have my budget. I stick to it. So are you, right? But the government has this huge budget, just keep taking taxes out of my back pocket. I'm sorry. I'm not happy about that at all. So let's hear what Trudeau has to say. Let's see what he has to say.
How concerned are you that Canadians are going to start defaulting on mortgages and other debts?
Look, this is not the news that any Canadian wanted to receive this morning. This is also a challenge that I've had conversations with fellow leaders from here in Europe and around the world on. The cost of living is a real challenge everywhere around the world with record high inflation, with interest rates continuing to go up. People around the world are facing significant challenges. That's why in Canada, we've stepped up with targeted support for people who most need it at this moment. So last week, we delivered the grocery rebate to 11 million Canadians. Canadians in provinces where the federal pricing backstop applies will be receiving their climate check this week. And next week, the Canada Child Benefit is going to be increasing with the cost increases in the cost of living.
Grocery shoppers are happy.
On top of the housing benefit and other benefits we're delivering, we are very much focused on supporting Canadians, even as we create great jobs and grow the economy. We will continue to be there for Canadians through these difficult times as we create a brighter future for everyone.
Happy to hear, Canada Bread has been fined $50 million for fixing the price of bread. But some are disappointed that the fine will be paid to the federal government.
The government didn't buy that amount of bread, and they shouldn't get that money. It should go to the consumers.
When a company does something wrong, they should give back to the people who they wronged.
Last week, major baked goods producer Canada Bread admitted it colluded to fix bread prices, resulting in price hikes in 2007 and 2011. The Competition Bureau says this is a significant development in its ongoing investigation into an alleged industry-wide bread price-fixing scheme.
Very serious crime. Bread, as we all know, is a staple of the Canadian diet.
Even so, this law expert says the main purpose of criminal prosecutions is to punish bad actors, not dole out compensation.
It's exceptional to provide for compensation for victims.
And she says it would be challenging to figure out how to disperse the cash.
I suspect the costs would be well over what people might get in the end and who would oversee it.
But some Canadians say the $50 million could easily be donated to charity, such as food banks, which are facing growing demand.
I think that's actually a very good idea, especially with the ongoing crisis in Toronto regarding a lot of people being homeless.
Requiring a company to make a donation isn't unusual. In 2022, Keurig agreed to give $800,000 to an environmental charity for misleading claims its coffee pods could be recycled.
But the Competition Bureau says Keurig was a civil case and that Canadians should pursue civil litigation to try to get compensation for bread price fixing. Two class action lawsuits are already doing this, but those cases could be tied up in the courts for years. Sophia Harris, CBC News, Toronto.
Prices, you know, bread prices. Like, who cares what happened in 2007 and 2011? I don't. Do you? And then, of course, they say the money's going to the government. It's another form of taxing. It doesn't come to us. We're the ones that had to pay the extra. Of course, it goes to the government. So do you not see how the corporations are in line with the government? And who knows what kind of kickbacks everyone is getting? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of kickbacks going on all over the world. Guys, open up your head. Open up your eyes. Let's continue here. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's listen to some more lies that we hear. Okay, here we go.
And secondly, how much do increased prices weigh in your decision making on increasing rates or potentially keeping them at a higher level for longer?
The short answer to why house prices keep going up is supply. We've said that for a long time. There's lots of things that go into house prices. Certainly, housing is very sensitive to interest rates. So when interest rates move, it affects house prices. But one of the fundamental things that's holding up house pricing in Canada is there's just more demand than there is supply. One of the things that's contributing to the demand for housing now is an increase in population. We've seen a return to immigration levels that we had pre-pandemic and quite a high surge in immigration more recently. So those things are contributing to keep housing prices high. Housing is a component of overall inflation, but we target inflation. We don't target house prices, and we don't target any one sector or one item within the CPI basket.
Thank you, and good morning.
Why do you think house prices are going to continue to rise?
Now, but who can afford those hundreds of houses that are for sale now? So what she's saying does, and she's the senior deputy Bank of Canada governor, Carolyn Rogers. Sorry, guys, there's more than enough houses for everybody, but who can afford $1 million house, a $2 million house? They're all standing around. I know one house that's been for sale for a year. So don't tell me there's not enough supply. There's more than enough supply, but who can afford the prices? If they stop the inflation, which is their fault, not our fault, they kept printing the money. If they lowered the interest rates, if they stopped with the stupid carbon taxes, then maybe everyone would have half a chance of getting a home or being able to rent a nice place. But oh no, there is an agenda. I'm telling you, there is an agenda. If you go on my website, realwealthrealestate.com, go there, read the articles, the blogs that I've written. Go on my Real Wealth Real Estate YouTube channel. I have over 278 videos there where I go into cryptocurrency, stocks, bonds, short-term rentals, regular rentals. Just go over there and watch it. Watch my shows. I explain everything, and I have other guests that are on the show too, where we explain everything that's going on because we are trying to educate you. But I don't even know if you're interested in getting educated. That's what I'm finding. Most people don't know what's going on at all. So let's go here and look. Let's listen to the Bank of Canada governor, and let's see what he's going to tell us now. Let me just get myself organized over here. So here we go. Let's see if you can hear him.
Thank you and good morning. I'm very pleased to be here with Senior Deputy Governor Carolyn Rogers to discuss today's policy announcement and our monetary policy report. Today we raised our policy interest rate by 25 basis points to 5%. We are also continuing our policy of quantitative tightening. this decision reflects two broad considerations. First, monetary policy is working, but underlying inflationary pressures are proving more stubborn. We have made considerable progress in the fight against inflation. CPI inflation has fallen from a peak of 8.1% last summer to 3.4% in May. But even as headline inflation has come down largely as we forecast, underlying inflationary pressures are proving more persistent than we expected. Higher interest rates are needed to slow the growth of demand in the economy and relieve price pressures. Second, we are trying to balance the risks of under and over tightening monetary policy. If we don't do enough now, we'll likely have to do even more later. But if we do too much, we risk making economic conditions unnecessarily painful for everybody. We've come a long way, and we don't want to squander the progress we've made. We need to stay the course to restore price stability for Canadians.
You can't find some place to live. That's part of stability. So I'm not going to listen to what he's saying because I don't believe a thing he's saying. I've been in business for 41 years, and I know how things work. I mean, they try and put quantitative easing, quantitative tightening, and I had to go on Google to find out what the hell that meant when they just say they print money and they stop printing money. So they use these fancy terms which mean nothing. I mean, when you think about it, how many degrees do these people have? And they can't figure out how to keep an economy going well. They have to have so many homeless people. I mean, let's see what happened in Toronto. Actually, I was watching on TV where these new immigrants that were coming in had no place to live and they were sleeping on the street in Toronto. When did that happen before? Isn't that just like what's happening in San Francisco and Vancouver and in Niagara Falls, that they're sleeping on the street? Like, what the heck is going on? Honestly, I look at that and I think, oh my God, what the hell is going on? So let's go over here and see if there's somebody that talks some sort of sense. Because quite frankly, I just don't hear it. I just don't hear any type of sense going on at all. So let's just hear what this is, what we're going to hear.
Trudeau had promised Canadians that they didn't have to worry about higher interest rates, that rates would be low forever. Today, his policies have forced the Bank of Canada to deliver another uppercut to Canadian families who are drowning in debt. We have the most indebted households in all of the G7 after 8 years of Trudeau. And now that debt is colliding with rapidly rising interest rates. Rates have gone from 0.25 all the way up to 5%, an absolutely astounding increase, 20 times higher than they were just over a year ago, all after Trudeau promised that they would stay low.
Economic Forum in February. This is so very interesting. You'll be interested to know about this. What I noticed was they were all had big SUVs, gas guzzlers. Not one of them had an electric car. So what does that mean for us? So you and I have to put up with some electrical abomination, because I really like my gas car. And these big, like, Trudeau's always flying around, like, I don't know what he thinks he is, the Pope of the world, in his jet, using more fuel than you and I use in maybe 15 years. And I'd like to see, does he have an electric car? I doubt it, right? I doubt it. So here we go. Let's see. Let's continue.
We need to continue to ensure.
Let's continue
that
now.
Armed Forces have
Trudeau,
the equipment, Anand, the resources,
Canada
the numbers
will up its defense spending. I don't know what he has to defense spending.
Expect us to have.
What's defense spending? You mean sending it to the Ukraine? Is that what he means? Because that's not, I mean, we're not at war with anybody, are we? So let's see what he has to say here. This is where the money is going again. Here we go.
The Canadian Armed Forces
here we
have
go.
The equipment, the resources, the numbers to be able to have the impact that Canadians expect us to have and that our allies from around the world expect us to have. That's why over the past years, from a low of Stephen Harper dipping below the 1%.
Morning.
After of GDP numbers. We've increased defense spending significantly. We're now behind only the U.S. and Germany in terms of real new dollars invested in defense since 2014, according to NATO's own calculations. So we have invested significantly, and we will continue to invest even more in defense. The way of evaluating this.
Just listen to what he's saying. He's turning all red. I can see him right here, right? He's lying. And then he's making up some sort of story of why he has to do whatever he has to do. Let's just keep listening to this nonsense, okay? Let's keep listening.
Lots of different math that can be applied in different ways. But the reality is Canada continues to step up, continues to invest more, and Canadians are there to contribute to the world in meaningful ways and will continue to be as we continue to increase defense spending.
Our presence in Latvia is what we call episodic and persistent. In other words, we will be rotating troops through Latvia in order to serve in Operation Reassurance. At the same time, we're very much focused on recruitment, retention, and overall reconstitution of the Canadian Armed Forces. And that is a priority because, as you know, we need to grow. We're down about 10,000 members. Part of my job as minister is to ensure that we are building a Canadian Armed Forces where everyone can serve protected, respected, and empowered. And that means cultural change in the Canadian Armed Forces, but it also means ensuring that the Armed Forces have the support that they need in terms of housing, in terms of living, in terms of means to deal with increasing costs of living.
What are we supposed to be doing? Here we go again. Here we go again. BS. So let's just go on here. I want to go back.
We need to continue to ensure that members
going back to my article that I'm going to be writing.
The resources,
so let me just see if I can find this one here because I got lost.
The Canadians expect us to have.
Here we go. Let me just go
here.
Let me just go
to
my website. Real Wealth Real Estate. So just go on my website and you will find my articles over there, and this will be put on the radio station on the podcast. This one here is going to be about housing, what to do about it, what can we do,
since
what can you do,
according to NATO's
where are your rights? Doesn't seem that anybody cares about our rights.
And we will
so let's look over here what it says over here, that you need to make $34 an hour wage needed to afford one bedroom in Toronto and $32 an hour in Vancouver. Tell me, how many people can afford that? How many people are getting paid that now? Do you remember, I mean, like we had a lot of people that, you know, were working with computers, the internet, and they were making good salaries, but they've gotten rid of them and put in AI. In fact, guys, would you believe it? I just heard today from my station master that there's actual big radio stations that have gotten rid of all of their radio hosts, and now they're using AI for their station. Well, I must say that 4680Q, we don't use AI. We are actually here. We're real people in the community trying to make things easier for you, trying to educate you, trying to give you the news as we see it, because there's too much propaganda. So are you making $34 an hour? Are you making $32 an hour to be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment? Think about that. Think about how crazy that is. So here we go. Let's go over here. Let's hear this one here. Let's see if I can help you over here. Okay, I'm finding this one here. This goes into, you know, saying that the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, remember I spoke to you about that, is fast becoming out of reach of minimum wage. So let's continue looking at here what this is saying here, because this is the truth. Let's see over here. Let's see. Let's continue over here. Okay, so here we are. We got that one out of the way. So I want to go back here and maybe have some solutions in the last 10 minutes. Okay, let's look at the state of housing in Niagara, because I think that's very important that we know what the state of housing is in Niagara, since this show is being produced in Niagara. So I'm happy to help with the housing. So here I have, the state of housing in Niagara is a concern due to increasing rental costs and a scarcity of affordable housing, leading to an increase in homelessness. According to a report by Community Services Niagara Region, 62.5% of Ontario Works recipients living in market rent accommodations are paying beyond their shelter. However, there are incentives to address this issue. The Niagara region has an affordable housing strategy that aims to increase the number of affordable housing units and provide a mix of housing that is appropriate for various sizes and incomes. Additionally, the Canadian government is supporting rapid housing projects in Niagara region to support Canadians who are in uncertain housing situations, experiencing or at risk of homelessness, or living in inadequate housing. The Ontario Priorities Housing Initiative, OPHI, also provides flexible funding to address local housing priorities and improve access to affordable housing. As for the number of homeless individuals in Niagara, the search results did not provide a specific number. However, the article states that homelessness in Niagara has continued to increase despite efforts to stop it. The population of Niagara is approximately 450,000 people, according to the Niagara Region website. And I must say that I never saw homelessness before. And I was really shocked when I went to St. Catharines about 3 years ago, maybe, or 5 years ago. And I saw these poor souls pushing their buggies, you know, the carts that you get from the grocery stores, with all their belongings there. And probably what they were doing is they were keeping themselves busy during the day, and they would probably go to the homeless shelter in the evening. I never saw that before. It's so sad to see that, and there is no need. When you think about the schools, there are empty schools, there are empty buildings. I remember when they took down the St. Catharines Hospital, why didn't they use that as a shelter for homeless people instead of tearing it down? Why didn't they use that? There are barracks that they can use for people. That is better. Oh, churches. Like, there's churches that are closing up. You should be using that to help the people get off the street. Like, we need to take care of our homeless issues. People are hungry. People are homeless. This is not the way it should be in Canada. So stop the taxation. Stop the increase in inflation. Stop rising the interest rates. And maybe we'll all have a chance of having a better quality of life. Because quite frankly, guys, for me, I don't see the quality of life that I had even 20 years ago. It's terrible now. It's terrible. And I can just imagine the hopelessness that people feel. You know, we're feeling it. We have businesses. I feel hopelessness when I see certain things happening, seeing homeless people on the street. As for the number, like, so we have 450,000 people in Niagara. We shouldn't have any homelessness here. Regarding rent amounts, The search results did not provide any specific number. However, there are articles that do mention it. I do know that years ago, people could find places for $300, $325, $350, $400, $450. You can't find that anymore. The landlords can't afford to give it to you unless, you know, they have homes they've owned for a long time. But, you know, I don't know what kind of homes. I mean, I never even rented places at that price years ago. My places used to be $550, $600 23 years ago, but it was all inclusive, including furniture. Everything was included. You know, at that time it was cable and internet. Now it's just internet, right? So I'm going to tell you what I think is going on, the Niagara Regional Housing, which, thank heavens, they have beautiful places, by the way. They have one in Niagara Lake, which is really beautiful and well-maintained. I salute the Niagara Regional Housing. And Niagara Regional Housing provides affordable housing for low-income households, seniors, and people with disabilities. To be eligible for NRH housing, applicants must meet the following criteria. I'll just read this out. Maybe this can help you. Be at least 16 years of age. Have a gross household income below the income limit for their household size. Be a Canadian citizen, landed immigrant, or refugee claimant. Not owe money to any social housing provider. Not have a history of criminal activity that would pose a risk to the safety of other tenants or the property. So the consequences of the lack of affordable housing in Niagara include an increase in homelessness, overcrowding, and housing security, which I feel very badly for anyone that is going through this right now. You know, I really do feel very badly. And I would like to finish off, we're almost finished for the day here. What I'd like to do is I would like to thank our corporate sponsor and partner, Cam Chaube, and I would like to have him on the show to talk about the best deals that you can get from him, which you can. He's going to have some wonderful deals, and I want to bid you sad adieu. I'm going to let go for today and say, please, by all means, help one another out. Ask the hard questions. Speak to any politician that you know and say, sir, what are you going to do for me today? What are you going to do for people that need to be taken care of? Are you actually doing anything for us at this moment? You know, are you doing anything? We have to ask those hard questions. So today we were discussing about how the financial elites are taking our rights away, including the governments and corporations. We discussed about the rental market, and we explored how difficult it is to find a rental property. And with the rising interest rates, you have to speak to the government about this and the banks. What does that mean for the rental market? And I would like you, invite you, to send me a message on Facebook. And I think I would love to thank again Kem Chaube and the Vehicle Exchange Inc. from St. Catharines and Fort Erie. Thank you for being my partner, and I look forward to many, many more shows to help the general public. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, everyone. God bless. If you need any help, do reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you if I can in any way with maybe some suggestions for you. So goodbye for now. See you next week.
Welcome to the Maria Recruit Radio Show, where we provide in-depth coverage of the most important trends and stories.
So I'm going to say goodbye for now. Bye.